All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Wednesday. It's December 16th. I'm Doug Norrie, and over there is
James Davis.
And we are coming at you with week 15. Can't believe it. Can't believe I'm saying it. Week 15 cash game plays for FanDuel and DraftKings. Season's got, what, three more weeks left to go now?
I guess so, yeah. In my mind, football like ends in February, which I know is actually accurate. But I always forget that the regular season ends, like, has to end much before that because they can only play one game a week. So,
yeah,
well, I'm also feeling surprised.
I also know we're getting late in the year when you see the old Saturday game show up on the schedule. That's the right signal that you're, I guess, like, COVID's made that a little different because, I guess we haven't had any Saturday games yet. It's only been pushed.
Well said. This whole part was well said.
Well thought out, well said.
Yeah, this was good. Good segment.
A block. We're almost through the A block, and I think we rushed it.
Right on, back after this.
Keeping people around. Okay, week 15 cash game plays. I do think, actually, at least right now, there's some injury stuff kind of hanging out there. We'll go through that in our game-by-game podcast. I do think we're getting fairly close to what I think is going to be like pretty logical cash game lines that are that we're looking at. I don't think there's a ton of consideration. Like last week, last week we had a good week, but I did feel a little weird going into it with some of our lineups, and we were definitely off chalk in some places, which we've been kind of all year, and it's been okay. This week, I'm not sure that's going to be the case, famous last words, but let's go through some of these plays and just take a look where we're going to land. At quarterback, we haven't really done it too much this season, and the year for him has been, I don't know, pretty much up and down. It hasn't been bad. It's only kind of been bad compared to how great he was last year, and that's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's not averaging 30 fantasy points a game this year.
Right, and it's because the passing touchdowns and dropped down, which we knew they were going to, and the interceptions ticked up a little bit. But in terms of just overall fantasy floor, it does look a little tough to get away from Lamar Jackson this week against Jacksonville. The matchup's perfect. He's turned it on lately. He has 124 rushing yards last week. He had 94 the week before. He really hasn't rushed for fewer than 50 rushing yards in the last 7 weeks. He's in that time, he's averaging like 75 yards a game. And the passing yards are going to be what they are. Like, he had a 100-yard passing game against Dallas. But in general, against Jacksonville here, I kind of just see him as easily the safest play in terms of cash. Do you agree with that with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I'm back on the Jackson train. He's a guy that I've dabbled with a decent amount of big tournaments as well, just because, you know, whenever you can get a guy who has the upside for by far the most points at the position in a given week for a discount to the price of the top guys, I think you have to pay attention. And the fact that this reminds me of his rookie year, right, where the Ravens are kind of fighting tooth and nail, trying to push into the playoffs,
yeah,
and they're unleashing him more, right? I mean, we saw this early in the season. Aside from the 16-carry game against Houston, he didn't crest over double-digit carries in any other game until the Pittsburgh game on November 1st. And then since then, he's basically been a lock for, you know, on average around 13 carries a game. He's got 200-yard rushing games, 5 rushing touchdowns in that span as well. So, yeah, I think he's basically fully unleashed right now. Jacksonville, like you said, just dream matchup. So, yeah, I'm totally with it here.
Yeah, Jacksonville checks all the boxes. They rank dead last, I think, against the pass. It's either them or the Jets. Let me just look real quick. They are, yeah, dead last. Oh, no, they're dead last in unadjusted DVOA, and they are second to last against the pass this season.
Come on. You got to give them credit for the strength of schedule. So just second to last.
And they also allow a ton of opponent plays per game. They rank 28th, or, you know, whichever way you want to flip this thing. Let's say they allow the fifth most opponent plays per game. So I think Jackson, you're only really at this point concerned about the price. FanDuel is getting, you know, kind of steep at 8,200. DraftKings, I think he's 7,500. Yeah, 7,500. So at that point, you're only looking at the price. I do think there's a couple guys that are a little cheaper here that offer something of the same skill set, and I'll just kind of lump them together. They played against each other last week, and that's Taysom Hill and Jalen Hurts. Now, we had Hill in cash, very underowned, and that was looking awful at halftime of that game. I think he had one fantasy point at halftime of the game. It was looking
real, not a lot of fantasy points.
Really, really bad. Turned it on in the second half. Ended up with almost 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Didn't run as much. Now, he had gone double-digit carries in each of his first 3 games, and then only ran 5 times last week. Now, I'm pretty sure Drew Brees is not going to play this week, so I'm saying that with Hill. And then we have Hurts, who kind of did the same thing. So he ran 18 times. Where do you land? And I did write up Hurts last week, and I kind of actually was borderline thinking he was a cash game play. Ultimately, couldn't risk it, I didn't think. But he's still coming really cheap on DraftKings. Give me your thoughts on these guys.
Yeah, I really like Hurts and Hill, frankly. Hill, it hasn't always been pretty with him, but the fact of the matter is when you zoom out on the game log, it's basically a week in, week out thing for him. Going up against Kansas City, you'd figure that they're going to not be in a position where they're just kind of grinding out the clock, right? Like they're going to need to keep showing up and putting yardage on the board. The running still gives him a great floor, even if that wasn't what carried him through last week. So, yeah, I think he's totally playable. Hurts, I think, is a pretty interesting upside option because essentially what you're buying with Hurts is basically like a running back one with a little bit of passing upside, and that's just plenty at these price points, right? I mean, if he's going to get 18 carries in a game, I'd say in a game where he gets 18 carries, he's a favorite to score a touchdown. So if you're going to get, you know, something like 80 to 100 yards on the ground plus on average three quarters of a touchdown, that's just a great running start at these price points. So yeah, I'm very up on Hurts this week. I don't know if I would, I think I'd rather just pay the extra $1,300 and play Lamar Jackson, who rates to be the better, more consistent version of him in a much better matchup. But on DraftKings, where the pricing is a little bit more spread out, I could certainly dream on it.
Yeah, so the matchup for Hill against KC is a good one in the sense that KC is pretty bad at stopping the run. Like they're better against the pass. But if you figure we're trying to buy both, you know, buy these quarterbacks on the upside of their legs, then the part where KC struggles to sort of stop some stuff on the ground actually does favor Hill, like a, sort of in the aggregate. And the fact that that's a part of it, and like you said, there's a good chance they're just playing catch up. Good conditions too. This one's at home in New Orleans, so I think I'd probably lean Hill here, even though it looked a little weird in Week 14, but. And I'm also just a little concerned that the Jalen Hurts thing was, oh, now, you know, Arizona has had a week to look at what the plan was with him against New Orleans, where New Orleans sort of didn't have that option all that much, like to look at what a whole game's worth of plays that were going to come down the pike in terms of Jalen Hurts, and it was just hard to prepare. I'm a little concerned that kind of, you know, reverts back a little bit now that a defense can figure it out. And that being said, for 5,900, if you're going to run, if you have just even double-digit rushing upside for a quarterback, you got to really take a long, hard look. So I'd be fine with any one of these three guys at their price points. I think people probably will talk themselves into Kyler Murray a little bit too. Murray's, we're going to move on to the other positions here in a sec, but Murray, after we were sort of worried about him not running anymore, he kind of dispelled that last week and he ran a ton again. So maybe that's just, maybe it was sort of just some run bad around him not scrambling too much, because last week, let me just look real quick. Yeah, last week,
yeah, 13 carries for 47.
Exactly. He was like five carries for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then all of a sudden 13 carries. So I think you could probably talk yourself in the Murray there as well. All four of these guys at their price points I think are fine. I do think you see ownership spread out among that group. Maybe Hill with the least ownership among that group.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, let's go and talk about running backs. I think this one is pretty clear around a couple guys that we're going to play. Walk us through some of the thoughts here at running back.
Right, so it starts with the big money guy this week, and I think you are going to want one of them. And this has been an ongoing question every single week, whether you want to look at Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry. And the tail of the tape this week, I think, is actually pretty difficult to parse for me anyway. So on one hand, you have Cook, who has scored 3 fantasy points more per game than Henry, and he's $800 cheaper than him, mm-hmm. right? So on the surface, you're like, well, you got to play Dalvin Cook in that case. But I think the matchup really is a potentially pretty significant fly in the ointment this week. So Cook going up against Chicago, and the Vikings are 3.5-point favorites here, so you know potentially a positive game script. Now, the last time Cook played against Chicago, he touched the ball 34 times. That's a lot of times. And on the surface, that feels like that's a very bullish signal, and it probably is, like if we know that that's sort of the game plan for how they want to use him against Chicago. But it wasn't really all that effective. He turned that into just 13.2 fantasy points. You could argue that he ran bad on touchdowns. When you're touching the ball 34 times in a game, like you probably should score a touchdown at some point. He didn't. Nonetheless, he's still quite a strong play against Chicago at a very low price point. The tricky part about playing Cook, though, is that you got Derrick Henry, who has really turned it up recently. He's going up against the Lions this week, coming off a week where we played him against the Jags, where he touched the ball 28 times for 222 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a pretty darn good game. And you talked about the Jags and their moving defense. Well, Detroit is the team, I believe, that's below them if you if you're adjusting things, or at least it was when I refreshed the DVOA page when I wrote the article. So nonetheless, Detroit, if not being the worst, are one of the worst defenses in the entire league. Now, we've just seen what Henry can do in a game script that favors him, right? 2 of the last 3 weeks, he's topped 35 FanDuel points. So I actually think this is pretty close, though. Do you have a sense for... Do you feel like it's clear either way?
Yeah, I think it's clear for me that it's Henry, I think. Okay. That's sort of how...
Well, you should go have a discussion with our system, because our system is sneaking Cook in here and there where it can.
It's well, just because of the price on FanDuel. Like, we have Henry for 2 more fantasy points right now, but the $800 makes a big difference. And by the way, it's these two guys, and there's a big drop-off to the next guy. So it's like it's sort of wrestling with that decision. It's the same thing on DraftKings, I think, right? Yeah, because Cook is $500 cheaper on DraftKings. So the I think you're only really kind of saying, you know, what are you able to get with that savings in the rest of your lineup? Because I think just from a projection standpoint, for me, it's Henry. The matchup's just, it really just kind of comes down to where we land with the matchup. And, you know, they're 10.5-point home favorites. Let's see where Minnesota was. Minnesota, 3-point home favorites. There's just more implied points coming up the board for Tennessee. We've seen what they want to do when the game is in their favor. He's just going to touch the ball 25-plus times. That's just kind of...
As Cook probably will, too. That's the problem. But I think I'm with you overall. I think the extra additional spending is worth. But I just want to point out, I think a lot of people will look at this and say that Henry is a slam dunk. Maybe this is an opportunity then to pivot into Cook in your big tournaments then, because I do think at the very least it's probably close. But, you know, in some ways, this is going to be – picking one of these guys is not going to be the part that feels hard this week to me. It's picking the guys after these guys that's going to feel, I think,
well,
a little bit difficult.
I got the sense there's one more guy.
There's one other clear guy.
Yeah.
And that's Cam Akers.
Right.
Akers, I think, is, I mean, it's hard to say because maybe people will play Henry at a higher rate. But if Henry and Cook get split, he seems like very obviously the highest owned running back of the week. Over the last 2 weeks, he got 50 total carries and 4 total targets. But whatever, we'll take it. And that kind of opportunity on a pretty good rushing team in the most favorable possible game script, right? I mean, they're 17-point favorites here going up against our Jets. I say our Jets because we just keep betting the Jets plus whatever double-digit number.
Yeah.
But I like Akers, obviously. I don't know how deep you need to go on it. He's won this Rams running back carousel thing, and he's been very effective. And you need him at this price point, too, if you want to pay up at running back. It's just a pretty square, I think.
Yeah, like you said, the snaps have been overwhelming in his favor. The touches have been overwhelming in his favor. He's looked great. It's kind of checked all the boxes. And it's one of these situations that happens multiple times a season where someone's opportunity becomes a new thing. And while the price mm-hmm. got adjusted some, it didn't get adjusted enough. And that is, it's again, you called it a free square. That's probably the best way to put it. I think he'll be an overwhelming chalk play. If you want to make any case against him, and I really don't, but it's that the Jets are actually much better against the run than they are the pass this season. They're a bad defense, but it's almost all because of how bad they are against the pass, where they rank dead last. They're actually top 10 against the run. Sometimes these kind of funnel things are a little bit weird just because, I don't know, one thing can look kind of good because it's not so much that they're like such a good offense. They might just be so bad against the pass that people just don't even bother with the run against them. So I sometimes get a little distrustful when I see huge.
It's also game script related, I think, too, where it's like once you're up by 17, the defense is like, we think you're going to run now. You know? And they can kind of, yeah, just stuff the run basically. But yeah, nonetheless, you're still going to play Cam Akers. I mean, whatever the Jets have mustered on defense against the run is nothing compared to all the other factors working in his favor. But yeah, so after this, though, is when it gets really, really difficult. And I'll just give a rundown of some situations we're keeping an eye on. The first one's in Tampa Bay, where Ronald Jones II has had finger surgery. So he had a steel rod inserted into his pinky, I believe, which sounds pretty painful. Somehow he's still considering playing football in the National Football League on Sunday. This is one of those things where I realized that football players are made a little bit differently than you and me, Doug. But yeah, if he winds up sitting, that's going to open up a ton of opportunity for somebody. Last week, LeSean McCoy was sort of the second man up. We've seen Fournette get big opportunity in the past, although, of course, he was a healthy scratch last week. And Vaughn is still lurking as well. So we'd be waiting and seeing. Maybe it'll wind up being a timeshare, but say McCoy was the lead back. He's less than 5,000 on FanDuel, so definitely a situation you're going to keep an eye on. I think if Ronald Jones plays, you could also consider playing him. I would assume that if he's out there, he's just going to get the carries. He injured this finger in the last game and didn't get pulled from the game. So, you know, Tampa Bay, again, very favorable game script potentially against a kind of floundering Falcons team there. So, yeah, just I'm keeping a close eye on that situation is the long story short. I think we have the potential for a significant opportunity. And then, yeah, after him, there's just a bunch of guys that I don't feel too passionately about. You got Jonathan Taylor had a bunch of carries last week, but 2 weeks prior against this very same matchup, he didn't touch the ball very much. If Breeze happens to come back, which I don't think it sounds likely right now, but, you know, you could think about Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery is still around. He's still getting huge cash game ownership. The production was there last week, but the opportunity is still not that, you know, reassuring to me. Do you have a feeling on any of this, you know, third tier of running back here? Do you lean one way or the other? Is there someone I'm missing? What are you seeing here?
Okay. So I don't, the Montgomery thing, it was funny about him because it was weird. He was well on his way to having a massive day. And then the game script they actually just got up by so much that they just kind of ended up resting him. So, but it's still the Bears. They're still underdogs here. I actually don't mind Taylor. And with the understanding that there's some scariness around how the Colts sometimes use him, I think in general, he's probably a pretty safe play. You didn't mention, I don't even mind Miles Sanders here. The price has really come down on him. And he actually got a lot of targets from Jalen Hurts last week, 4 targets. So I do think that there's ends up being sort of this group of guys that, you know, don't feel terrible about any of them, but don't feel necessarily great either. Among that group, I'd probably say Taylor's probably my favorite. It probably goes like Taylor, Sanders, Montgomery, something like that. If they didn't, I haven't thought a ton about it yet, but
it's just tough because Taylor, so everything goes perfectly for him last week against Vegas. You know, the game script was absolutely ideal. He does touch the ball 22 times, but it's not like Hines and Wilkins were just all of a sudden disappeared, right? Like they were still getting on the field a lot, touching the ball a lot. It was just that there were so many carries to pass around.
Yeah.
That he winds up getting there. I just don't know that you can pencil him in for anything near that opportunity. And he's, like I said, he's 7,400. Man, that's, I don't know. I'm getting a little bit spooked thinking about, and I make the same argument against Montgomery too. At the end of the day, you have to play somebody. You don't have to play a third running back. I guess you could stick a wide receiver in the flex if you want to, but, you know, that brings its own series of questions. I'll say this is a position where I am hoping for more value to open up, because I don't feel good about any of these other recommendations right now.
Yeah, we'll get into some more of these guys in the Game by Game podcast tomorrow, and maybe we'll have a little bit more injury clarity as well. Let's roll into wide receivers. I think actually wide receiver for me, at least around a couple of guys, is pretty clear. Brandon Ayuk is just a wide receiver one. He's not priced like it, and we talked about him last week as a really pretty clear value play. He was in 100% of our lineups on all sites. He's the clear target favorite here in San Francisco. It's not particularly close. He's actually, since I wrote this, and I'm going to screw up the timeline, but I think it's over the last 6 weeks.
I'm going to say 4 weeks.
4 weeks. Well, it isn't, because he had 2 weeks where he missed because of COVID. So that's why it got a little weird. I had to do a query, and then I did it by points per game instead of overall points. But it's his last four games, but it's over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Okay.
He ranks third in the NFL in targets, and he's ranks third overall in DraftKings points per game for wide receiver. He's been amazing. And I don't know if it's the lack of touchdowns that's keeping the price down, but last week he had 16 more targets, 10 catches, 119 yards, and now Debo Samuel is going to be out. So I don't actually think you can give Ayuk much more opportunity with the Samuel thing. I think he's pretty much peaked at his opportunity. And that being said, the price hasn't come up at all to reflect what that actual opportunity is. So he, to me, feels basically like a lock on both sites at his current price point. 6,300 on DraftKings, 69 on FanDuel. The FanDuel price particularly is a total joke. So he's 100% locked for me. I am wondering what your thoughts are with, if no Samuel, how deep we can think about getting into the San Francisco wide receiver core, because Kendrick Bourne was sort of the next guy up, but we also saw a big game from Richie James a few weeks ago when all these guys were out. How speculative would you want to get on San Francisco without Debo? Or is it just kind of Ayuk or bust, and we'll kind of deal with... Because, last week we talked about some of these cheap guys for Houston, right? There are passes to be had here, but I just don't know how speculative you want to get on the rest of the group.
Not very. I mean, they're not extremely high-quality passes for the most part, and these aren't exactly high-quality wide receivers either, so I don't feel the need to stick my neck out. I mean, Bourne had 7 targets last week. He caught 3 of them for 40 yards, so I don't think we need to go too deep there. Richie James did have that one big week. He only had 3 targets last week. I just don't see San Francisco as a team that can support 2 fantasy wide receivers for me, by and large. I mean, unless there was an obvious guy who was going to come up. Obviously, paying $4,900 for someone or whatever is nice and cheap, and you can get away with a lot at that price. But on the surface, I'm not super excited about it.
Good matchup against Dallas, who's got a bottom third defense this season. So like I said, it is Ayuk. He's pretty clearly, he's just a wide receiver one. That's priced like a wide receiver two. There's not really another way to say it. The other guy that our system is basically locked on right now, and it was last week as well, is Michael Thomas, who has not, in terms of target share, he's not where he was last year, and it was going to be impossible basically to get back to a record-breaking season that he had in terms of targets last year. So you can't put him there, obviously, to start. But then the beginning of the season with the injuries and some other stuff, the targets just wasn't there for him. But it's definitely come back over the last 4 or so weeks with Taysom Hill, where he's gotten double-digit targets a couple times. The only thing that hasn't really produced is touchdowns. He has no touchdowns this season. Now, you can say, well, that's
not very many.
No, yeah. I can't even really call it bad luck either, because the red zone targets really aren't there either. So they're just running the ball. They're just running the ball so much in the end zone. I think even without the touchdown equity, the targets are still just good enough. 8, 11, 6, 12 over the last 4 weeks, 200-yard games in there. He still converts his targets into catches at a really high rate. And so I think for me, the price for sure is being kept down because of the no touchdowns, and that might continue, but still at 7,000 on FanDuel. It just feels easy. 7,200 on DraftKings, maybe that's a little closer, but just the PPR piece of it, he still maintains this price even without the touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm with you the whole way. Yeah, he's not getting the opportunity he was last year, but he's also $2,000 cheaper than he was last year. So I don't think the spread between last year's production and this year's is $2,000 worth. So yeah, I think this is a deep discount on Thomas and what he's bringing to the table even right now. And while the red zone targets haven't been there, that it honestly just feels a little bit like a sample size thing to me. Like a lot of times they are trying to scramble in with Hill, but he's still lurking there as the best offensive option they have, right? So it's not like they've forgotten about him entirely. I'm not overly concerned about that. I think 8 catches on 8 targets again last week. He's the safest option in the passing game for Hill, a guy who's been struggling to pass the ball. I think we could see him push back over double-digit targets and would be excited to play him in cash.
I wrote about Allen Robinson as another just high floor kind of guy. The targets for him have been better when Mitch Trubisky. They were basically good all season long, but they have been slightly better with Trubisky under center than Nick Foles. So I think you can be pretty aggressive with his projection here. He's a little expensive, so I don't love that. Anyway, those are my quick thoughts on Robinson. I do think there is a group of sort of speculative wide receivers. I'm just going to roll through some of those guys. I don't know if I'd feel great about any of them in cash, but you know, Chad Hansen saw the most targets for Houston last week after we thought it was going to be a Kiki Kute week, which didn't really materialize. You've got to check out Devontae Parker's health because guys like Matt Collins and Lynn Bowden both got a lot of targets last week for Miami, but I'm just not sure where we're going to go with that. Any quick thoughts on any of these like sort of like more speculative guys? Actually, you know, more specifically, let's say Devontae Parker missed this week and we knew that he was going to sit. Would you trust the target shares that we got from Matt Collins and Lynn Bowden? Like Collins had 9 targets, but they both had 9 targets, actually. Collins had 66 receiving yards, Bowden had 82 receiving yards. They might also be without Mike Gesicki as well. Gesicki got hurt during the game last week. It looked like he dislocated his shoulder, maybe. It looked really pretty gnarly. But if Miami was missing, you know, I think those are the two highest target guys. Would you start trusting these cheap guys in Hollins and Bowden?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, Gesicki already has been ruled out, by the way. So, or has he? No, they fear that he's going to miss at least these headlines. It's killing me. Yeah, Lynn Bowden, I think is playable. 9 targets, 7 catches for 82, like you said. And I think importantly for me, he also had 4 targets that he turned into receptions in the prior game. So not like totally out of nowhere. And the price is right? I mean, we'll get to this at tight end, but we've already talked about wanting to play a pretty expensive quarterback, the most expensive running back. We're going to probably want to play the most expensive tight end once again. So when you put all that math together, you'd really like to find some savings somewhere. Not that catching targets from Tua is like the best thing in the world right now, but it's something, and it's sub 5,000. I think you can absolutely get away with it.
Yeah, I think I was just looking at some of these other, you know, if those two guys were to miss, I was just checking in real quick where the snap count went. Bowden actually played the most snaps of anybody on the Dolphins, looks like it, last week. I don't know if that's counting some special team snaps or not, but yeah, he had 59 offensive snaps, which is more than, 83. Sorry, I'm stumbling through that part. But yeah, I think Bowden of that group would probably be the one I felt the best about, but they're just both coming so cheap that I'm with you that the Tua passing targets aren't the same as getting them from like, you know, Patrick Mahomes or whatever, but the price probably wins out. Let's roll into tight end. I think I know where you're going to start here. We rolled them in cash games last week. It just worked again. I mean, are we just Kelce or bust, or does some of the injury stuff around some of these other guys make it like we might pivot to like an Adam Sheehan or something like that if Gesicki missed? Where do you want to go with tight end?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to argue against playing Kelce at tight end right now. He's now got 8 catches or more in 6 straight weeks. He's topped 100 yards in all but one of those games. He's topped 125 yards in 4 out of those 6 games. So he's just an absolute machine right now. It's hard to imagine a safer play period at this price point, I would say. So, and that's like putting him in the category with quarterbacks and things like that. He's just a phenomenally safe option. And unlike a lot of these other players, you know, like running backs, quarterbacks, et cetera, there really aren't other good plays at cheaper price points. So you basically have Kelce, and then you have a huge drop off in safety beneath them. Saints aren't an absolutely great matchup or anything, but tight ends tend to be more matchup proof than other positions, just because, you know, for instance, for running backs, teams can totally stack the run and try to take it away. Wide receivers sometimes will get a specific cover corner. It doesn't often work that way at tight end, so I think Kelce should be able to cook here pretty well. Yeah, so I think you're going to start with that. If you do have to go cheaper, there are some reasonable options in the lower price tier. TJ Hockenson is the guy that I listed second overall here. He's obviously nowhere near in Kelce's league, but if the money works out in such a way that you simply cannot pay $8,500 on FanDuel for a tight end, Hockenson is doing pretty well, right? I mean, he's got 28 targets over the last 3 weeks, topped 80 receiving yards in two of those games, has a touchdown in one of them, you know, 11-plus FanDuel points in the last three games. That sounds fine, right, at the tight end position?
Yeah.
You're not, like, getting away with murder or anything. If Galladay comes back, you're not going to be happy, but...
You just got to keep an eye on Stafford. It doesn't look like Stafford's going to play, and that would be where I'd probably have to tick tock.
Yeah, of course. You can't play him if Stafford is out. The ribs thing is serious?
Yeah, I think so. But even... I would be my only caveat, because Hockenson has had pretty bordering on elite weeks here in terms of
compared to tight end, they are just elite with no qualification. Yeah,
exactly. So it's only the Stafford thing, and then I think it's going to be either Kelce or just like I said, if Gesicki misses, then you want to dip down into the speculative group of Miami tight ends. I think that's maybe the only reasonable pivot, because Kelce is just. Again, we talked about this last week, and I'm not going to go as long as I did last week about it, but it's only because KC, for a lot of fantasy players, that KC has not played on these main slates, that you just forget how good this guy is. He's fifth overall among position players in DraftKings points per game this season. It's like he's just been absolutely and utterly amazing. And just my final piece on this, it just feels weird to pay up for tight end. That's the only thing that people get kind of screwed up around that paying up for tight end, because every other guy is utter garbage. It just feels weird to do it, and he's the one that you can just it's a very easy case to make. And so, especially too, if you end up getting some of these Miami cheap receivers, then it just gets really easy, actually. You're playing for Kelce, and you're playing Derrick Henry and Cam Akers and Thomas and Ayuk, and I think that's probably going to be the core of where we are with cash game lineups right now. All right, we're going to be back again tomorrow talking game by game for the main slate. We're going to have some bets that we like going out there as well. So go check that out when we break down every game in the main slate. In the meantime, dfsr.com/deals, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com/deals will get you started on our optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, Player Lab as well, members only chat. And we cover it all for NFL and NBA. So if you, you're looking for getting started with NBA, which is less than a week away with the season starting, all of our subscriptions just cover all the sports we do. We don't section it off by sport or provider or whoever wrote the article or, this guy's main plays, you pay for that this week. Now it's all, if it's on the site, it's all there for you. So dfsr.com/deals, buddy. Talk to you tomorrow when we break down every game.
Peace.